I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Just got off the horn with Ben Anderson as Jazz fans lament last night's loss to the 76ers, the NBA admitting to a bunch of blown calls. And then to put the old cherry on top of bad feelings, the Jazz picked dead last Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell in the draft for the All-Star game this evening. It has Scott quite grumpy, but we're going to put him in a good mood here because Bill Riley, voice of the Utah Utes, joins us now on the program, connoisseur of fine meats and cheeses. Bill, thanks for being on the program with us. And could you please help Scott feel a little bit better? I mean, he came out after the last night's game and then the draft.
Oh, Bill is the biggest LeBron fan in the world.
Oh,
he's
no.
Like, yeah.
Oh, so you're going to sympathize with LeBron picking Rudy last on for his team.
Well, I mean, I don't mind picking Rudy last. I don't understand why Donovan was picked like second to last. I mean, Rudy, all-star games are meant for offensive guys, so Rudy doesn't really,
right.
You know, doesn't really fit all-star games, but Donovan does. I don't, you know, and then the snarky comment. Hey, I like LeBron. I think he's the best player in NBA history, but I mean, the snarky comments about we never picked the Jazz, we never played the Jazz on video games. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just kind of a.
It's a slight.
I mean, I like LeBron, but that, I mean, does that comment need to be made? Come on.
He's going after those guys.
Yeah, it certainly didn't sound like it was helping the cause at all. Like, it wasn't a slam.
Oh, it's
thing.
Friendly fire.
It made it worse.
They're all stars. Like, it's a bunch of guys. It's, you know, after the game when they all shake hands and nothing. Who cares? It's going to be 184.
The players
to
care.
177. Who cares?
The players
well,
care.
Look at it this way, Scott. Now they've got something else to be angry about for the second half of the season. And then when they beat the Lakers in the playoffs. You know, Rudy and Donovan can walk up to him and say, go play your video games now.
Nice.
Right.
He has lots of time to play video games now, LeBron.
Yeah, I'm writing this down.
They ought
down.
To buy him an Xbox or something.
I'm writing this
to
down. I'm taking all these notes so we can figure out a way to get back at LeBron and doing all this. Bill, we brought you on to talk a little bit of Utah as we're getting closer to spring. The schedule, of course, gets released. And we knew who Utah was going to be playing, and we knew kind of where they were going to be, obviously. But I guess the order was there. Were you surprised about how anything shook out, or what stands out to you from the schedule?
No, I think it's a pretty good schedule. I mean, we knew the non-conference games. It would be at BYU, at San Diego State, which is going to be in L.A., but not where the Chargers play, but where the soccer team play. Anyway, Scott, I can show you around. I've been to that stadium about 800 times calling soccer games, so we'll have a good time there when we get there, although it's in Carson, which is not exactly a great area of L.A.
See, I told you, Bill's a connoisseur of meats and cheeses and restaurants around the L.A. area.
There's no meat and cheese in Carson.
No, we're going to have to go elsewhere besides Carson to do that. Manhattan Beach isn't far away, though, Scott. So maybe we'll go over to Manhattan Beach. Now, I thought the schedule set up really good for Utah. They get the open conference play at home against Washington State. Then they get a bye week, and then they play at USC. I mean, we knew they were going to play at USC. You get a bye week before that, and then they come back home to play ASU. And then you finish up your last two games of the year with Oregon and Colorado at home. I honestly think it's a really good schedule for Utah.
What do you want to get out of spring football? I mean, what's a good spring football look like for Utah?
I you know, we'll start at your favorite position. It's getting reps for quarterbacks. Since they didn't get any spring reps last year for Jake Bentley, I think getting Charlie Brewer and Quentin Jackson and Peter Castelli a bunch of reps is good. And for me, too, it's the running backs. You know, you've got a new running back room. You've got two kids coming in from Oklahoma and LSU. You know, Mekhi Bernard's the only returning player, and then you've got a freshman in Ricky Parks coming in. So, to me, I mean, again, you're not hitting that much. You're not going all out like you would in fall camp, but I think it's a chance to get those guys integrated into the offense as well. I think your offensive line, your receivers, your tight ends are pretty set. But I think it's a chance to get, you know, your quarterbacks and running backs where you've kind of remade the room a little bit, some reps.
Obviously, the departure of Guy Holliday caused a little bit of a kerfuffle this week. You know, it doesn't help with, you know, speculation on social media and things like that. Shifting around coaches in the offseason, whether they get a job somewhere else or whether they're let go, happens to every team. So that wide receiver room, though, it seems to be one of these places where the Utes have a lot of questions and they need answers there.
Well, I mean, they don't have questions with their first three, but the big question is depth. I mean, if something happens to Britton Covey, Solomon Enos, or Jalen Dixon, I did the numbers. I mean, those are the only three guys who have caught passes and played in games for Utah. I mean, that's it, three guys. Now, you'll use Keithy and tight ends throwing it there, but I mean, you've got no proven depth. And, Guy Holliday was a good guy. I mean, I think the wide receiver position has been deficient, you know, from a production standpoint. You can argue, was that the wide receiver coach's fault? Was that the offensive system? What was it? You know, inconsistent play at quarterback. But the bottom line is, you know, something's got to change. And arguably two of your top three or two of your top four receivers transferred out of the program after they had been there 4 years and 3 years respectively. So something was going on there. And, you know, to be fair, it's a position coach's position. It's not a coordinator. It's not a head coach. So, you know, I would imagine Kyle Whittingham didn't make that move without having an idea of what he wanted in that position. And again, to remember too, this is important. Your Guy Holliday preceded Andy Ludwig. Worked together for a couple of seasons. Maybe Andy's got somebody he'd rather see in that position. I don't know. I haven't talked to any of those guys, but you guys know. You know, coaches like to have coaches they know and they're familiar with, whether you're a coordinator or a head coach, and maybe Andy Ludwig's got somebody he wants to work with.
Is it possible to get that person now? I mean, it just seems kind of late. You know, these decisions happen at the end of the season. I don't know if it helps or hurts in recruiting, but it just seems like to get a quality guy in that spot would be hard, because I'm sure everyone, you know, has a job who has any worth.
Well, I mean, if you're a good wide receivers coach at a program that's lesser than Utah or making less money, I think, you know, we know money talks. So if you're a really good group of five wide receivers coach at, say, Houston, and you're on the rise and you're making $180,000 at Houston and the University of Utah pays $350,000, I think that's an easy move, don't you?
Yeah, I'll take it.
That'd
Are you
be
offering?
Great.
Is there
a coaches transfer portal that we can jump into? Or
I'm sure there's a coaching transfer portal these guys can jump into as well.
I was looking at the
Baker Mayfield is in charge of that. By the way,
we were looking at the schedule too, and we were looking, of course, at obviously the ones that stand out. If you're in the South Division of the Pac-12, you look at where Arizona State and USC are, and they're right back to back. At the Coliseum, where the Utes have never won, and then that ASU game here at home. But you got a bye week before that USC game down in L.A. How competitive is this team going to be compared to those two teams who've made... I mean, ASU's gotten better, and USC is always going to be USC.
I think they're much like they were a year ago. I think you shake them up and roll them out and see who goes. SC always has more talent, so we know that. But I think Utah and ASU are highly competitive, and both have shown the ability to beat USC. So I, you know, for me, Utah places, they've got to fill the holes with guys going in the draft. So, it's early, but I think those three teams compete for the South again.
He's Bill Riley. Bill, thanks for hanging out, and maybe I'll just go along with that road trip with you guys down to Carson, California, and check out the Utes down there playing San Diego State this year. I mean, if we're going to go to a good restaurant. So thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man.
See you guys.
All right, taking the break. We come back. We've got more to go. We've got our MVPs around the corner. And then we've got our second hour of the program. Much more to go. Stay right here with us, right here in KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.